Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nainar Tree's podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Project 2025, A Mandate for Authoritarian Leadership is a political analysis and commentary book by Simon Pierce that examines the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 agenda and its possible implications for a second Trump administration. Based on the title, subtitle, and available descriptions, the book positions itself as a chapter-by-chapter guide to a 920-page conservative policy blueprint, translating its institutional proposals into plain language for general readers. Its purpose is not merely to summarize the document, but to argue that the plan would significantly expand executive authority, weaken long-standing democratic safeguards, and reshape federal governance around a strongly conservative Christian nationalist vision. The book is aimed at readers who want to understand the policy architecture behind Project 2025 before it influences government action, especially those concerned about civil liberties, institutional checks and balances, and the practical effects of political change on everyday life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a chapter-by-chapter explanation of Project 2025 as a governing blueprint. The book presents itself as a structured guide to Project 2025 rather than a general political essay, and that format is central to its value. By moving chapter-by-chapter through the Heritage Foundation's plan, it tries to make a very long and technical policy document accessible to readers who would not otherwise study it directly. This approach matters because Project 2025 is not a single proposal, but a coordinated framework touching the presidency, federal agencies, staffing, regulation, education, healthcare, and social policy. A chapter-based method helps readers see how these pieces connect instead of treating them as isolated talking points. In practice, the book functions as a translation layer. It takes institutional language and shows how administrative changes could become real-world policy. That makes the book especially useful for readers who want a map of the agenda rather than a defense or a rebuttal in broad rhetorical terms. Secondly, a warning about executive power and democratic safeguards. One of the book's core themes is the claim that Project 2025 would strengthen the presidency at the expense of the institutions meant to limit it. The available descriptions repeatedly frame the agenda as a challenge to democratic protections, emphasizing executive consolidation, reduced judicial independence, and the weakening of bureaucratic constraints. This is a significant analytical angle because it shifts the discussion away from partisan slogans and toward governance design. The book appears to argue that institutional change is not neutral if the executive branch gains more direct control over agencies, staffing, and enforcement. Then political power becomes easier to centralize and harder to check. Readers interested in constitutional balance, separation of powers, and administrative law would find this framing especially relevant. The book's argument depends on the idea that democratic erosion can happen through procedural reforms, not just dramatic constitutional breaks. Thirdly, how policy shifts could affect taxes, jobs, healthcare, education, and rights. A practical feature of the book is its effort to connect abstract policy architecture to everyday consequences. Instead of treating Project 2025 as a remote ideological document, it reportedly explains how proposed changes could affect taxes, employment, healthcare, education, and basic rights. That makes the book more than an institutional critique. It becomes a guide to possible social and economic outcomes. This kind of analysis is valuable because large policy platforms often influence daily life through administrative rules, staffing decisions, enforcement priorities, and regulatory rollbacks rather than through headline legislation alone. By focusing on concrete areas of concern, the book helps readers understand why political blueprints matter outside Washington. It also broadens the audience beyond political specialists, since people usually engage with government most directly through schools, workplaces, medical access, and household finances. The book's significance lies in making those links visible. Fourthly, an explicitly critical reading shaped by fears of authoritarianism. The tone described in the search results suggests that the book is not a neutral handbook, but a strongly critical interpretation of Project 2025. Its framing includes terms such as authoritarian leadership and warnings about a Christian nationalist autocratic state, which indicates a clear normative position. That matters because the book is designed to persuade as well as inform. Rather than merely cataloging policy proposals, it interprets them as part of a broader political project that could concentrate power and reduce pluralism. Readers should therefore understand the book as a polemical analysis with a specific viewpoint, not a detached academic survey. At the same time, this kind of positioning can be useful because it makes the author's lens transparent. Readers know the standpoint from which the material is being presented, and they can evaluate the argument accordingly. In a crowded political market, that explicitness is part of the book's identity and appeal. Lastly, a reader-oriented guide for citizens who want to respond with knowledge. The book is aimed at a broad public audience, especially concerned citizens, students, and readers trying to understand Project 2025 before it is put into practice. Its stated purpose is to equip readers with facts and help them recognize the scope of the agenda. That makes the book more action-oriented than many political explainers, which often stop at description. Here, the emphasis is on comprehension as a form of preparedness. The practical benefit is that readers can better discuss the policy, evaluate claims made about it, and recognize its possible effects in real political debate. This audience focus also explains why the writing style appears to favor clarity over academic depth. For readers who want an accessible entry point into a complex and controversial policy framework, the book offers a concise interpretive guide. Its value lies in making a dense and politically charged document easier to understand and harder to ignore. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a critical, accessible overview of Project 2025 and its possible consequences for American governance. It should appeal to politically engaged citizens, students of contemporary conservatism, and readers who want to understand how a large policy blueprint could affect executive power, institutions, and everyday life. Its main benefit is clarity. It appears to turn a long and technical manifesto into a readable explanation organized around concrete implications. That makes it useful as a discussion starter and as a reference for readers who want to follow current political debates with more context. Compared with similar books, it stands out for its strong interpretive stance and its focus on authoritarian risk, rather than offering a neutral policy summary. At the same time, that same perspective is what defines its place in the genre. Readers looking for a counterpoint to celebratory or purely descriptive coverage of Project 2025 will find this book distinctive because it treats the document as a serious warning about institutional power, democratic safeguards, and the future direction of the federal government. If you would like to support Simon Pierce, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.